بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، brothers and sisters in Islam. Hadith number 6 today, clarification of the way. And this hadith talks about the way of salvation, the way to success, the way to the Jannah, the way to achieve the pleasures of Allah, the way to have an eternal life. In the Garden of Bliss. And there's only one way. And it's the way of the prophets and the messengers of Allah. So if we follow the way, if we follow the methodology, we reach. But if we decide to take another path or another shortcut, inevitably we will not reach. Al-Irbad ibn Sariyah رضي الله تعالى عنه said وعظنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم موعظة بليغة ذرفت منها العيون ووجلت منها القلوب، فقلنا يا رسول الله إن هذه لموعظة مودع، فماذا تعهد إلينا؟ قال قد تركتكم على البيضاء ليلها كنهارها، لا يزيغ عنها بعدي إلا هالك، ومن يعش منكم فسيرى اختلافا كثيرا، فعليكم بما عرفتم من سنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين، عضوا عليها بالنواجذ، وعليكم بالطاعة، وإن عبدا حبشيا فإنما المؤمن كالجمل الأنف حيثما قيد انقادا. The meaning in English. The Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Irbad ibn Sariyah narrated that Allah's Messenger ﷺ gave us an admonition which caused the eyes to shed tears and the hearts to fear. So we said, O Messenger of Allah, this is as if it were a farewell sermon. So with what do you counsel us? With what do you counsel us? So he said, I have left you upon clear proof. Its night is like its day. No one deviates from it except one who is destroyed. And whoever lives long from amongst you will see great controversy. So stick to what you know from my sunnah and the sunnah of the orthodox, rightly guided caliphs. Cling to that with your molar teeth and stick to obedience even if it is to an Abyssinian slave. Since the believer is like the submissive camel, wherever he is led, he follows. Reported by Ahmad, Al-Hakim, Bayhaqi, and its authentic hadith. Now, this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, Al-Ibad, said that the Prophet ﷺ gave such beautiful speech. Wa'adana, the wa'ad means to preach and to admonish. So wa'adana Rasulullah ﷺ, so the Prophet ﷺ gave this wonderful speech that touched their hearts. Because brothers and sisters, the words that come from the heart, they go to the heart. What comes from the heart goes to the heart. So if you want your speech to affect the people, to affect the audience, you have to be sincere. So that the people, they feel that your words, they are coming from the bottom of your heart. So that will touch their hearts. So the Sahaba, they felt this. Because the Prophet ﷺ was talking to them from his heart. Sincerely. He's leaving them. That's why they felt this is a farewell speech. This is a speech of someone who is telling them goodbye. So they said, when they felt the impact of the speech in their hearts, immediately their eyes started to shed tears. And you know, brothers and sisters, if you want to cry, first of all, the heart has to be moved. The heart has to be humbled. When the heart is humble, then the eyes will be very generous to shed the tears. But if the heart is so hard, you want to cry, but you cannot cry. It is the heart that commands the eyes to shed the tears. It is the heart which is the king over the organs. That Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said, Al-qalbu malik wal-a'za'u junuduhu. The heart is the king and the rest of the organs are its soldiers. And you all know this heart, this little organ, this small organ in the size of your fist. If it is whole, if it is good, then everything will be good. So the Sahaba are telling us, and Al-Irbad is saying, so when this wonderful exhortation, when this wonderful speech touch our hearts, we started to cry. We started to shed tears. Because we felt in our hearts that the Prophet ﷺ is leaving us. ذرفت منها العيون ووجلت منها القلوب. This wonderful, this forceful talk the Prophet ﷺ gave, it shook the hearts. It made the hearts tremble. It moved their hearts. وجلت منها القلوب. Our hearts were filled with fear. Fear of what? Fear because we are going to miss the Prophet ﷺ. We are going to lose the Prophet ﷺ. He's not going to be present among us ﷺ. The one whom we run to at any time when we have a problem, we are not going to have him in person. Though his sunnah will be remain with us. But the Sahaba Ridwanullah alayhim, anything they want to know, they went to the Prophet ﷺ. O Prophet of Allah, I did this, I did that. Imagine they go straight to the Prophet ﷺ, and he explains to them and he teaches them. And not only that, when they are in his company, when they are in his presence, and he talks to them, as Hanbala said, O Prophet of Allah, when we are in your company and you tell us and talk to us about heaven and hell, we feel that we are already there. We feel that we are seeing it with our own eyes. But then when we leave your presence and your company, we tend to forget. And the Prophet ﷺ, as you know, he told Hanbala, oh Hanbala, if you remain in that state of Iman, then the angels will shake hands with you on the streets, on your beds, will come and shake hands with you. Because you become just like the angels. But the Iman cannot be maintained all the time. So the Iman goes up and falls down. Anas said, when we buried the Prophet ﷺ, we felt our hearts chained. During his lifetime, we feel our hearts are one heart. But immediately after his death, we felt that our hearts chained. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So no wonder their hearts were filled with fear. That this Prophet of Allah, this rahmatan lil alameen, this mercy of mankind is going to leave us. We'll become orphans. Because for us and to the Sahaba, he was everything. He was their father, he was everything. He consoles them, he guides them, he teaches them. The Prophet ﷺ has everything in their life. They loved him more than anything, brothers and sisters. They loved the Prophet ﷺ more than themselves, more than their children, their wives, their husbands. So here Al-Irbad is expressing the feeling that they had when they heard that speech of the Prophet ﷺ. Then the Sahaba, they were wise, matured, when they had that feeling and they knew, then they said, okay, let us take the chance while he's still alive and ask him to give us guidance and to direct us to what is better for us in the coming days. فَقُلْنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Then we said, O Messenger of Allah, إِنَّ هَذِهِ لَمَوْعِظَةٌ وَدَّعٌ. Most certainly, this speech which you are delivering now is a speech of one who is saying goodbye. And the Prophet ﷺ, he sanctioned that. He sanctioned that. Because he didn't say, no, it's not, I'm not dying, I'm not going to leave you. No, he agreed. So they said, most certainly this wonderful speech is a speech of someone. This topic, this sermon, this sermon which touched our hearts, is most certainly is a speech of someone who is leaving. فَمَاذَا تَعْهَدْ إِلَيْنَا. So please, Prophet of Allah, please, O Allah's Messenger, advise us, give us guidelines. What do you want us to do? So what do you counsel us? He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have left you upon clear proof, its night is like its day, no one deviates therefrom except one who is destroyed. He said, قَدْ تَرَكْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْبَيْضَىٰ لَيْلُهَا كَنَهَارِهَا لَا يَزِغُ عَنْهَا إِلَّا هَالِكِ. He said, I have left you on the right path, on the straight line, on the way, which if you remain in it, it will lead you to the Jannah. It will lead you to my fountain. It will lead you to the real home where you are going to have eternal life. Clear proof. No doubt at all. The Kitab and the Sunnah. So just abide by that. Follow it. أَتَّرَكْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْبَيْضَاءِ لَيْلِهَا كَنَهَارِهَا. Its night is as clear as its day. No doubt. Everything is told to you. In one of the hadith he said, مَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ, and it's authentic hadith, مَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ يُقَرِّبُكُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ وَيُبَاعِدْكُمْ مِنَ النَّارِ إِلَّا وَقَدْ أَخْبَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ وَمَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ يُقَرِّبْكُمْ مِنَ النَّارِ وَيُبَاعِدْكُمْ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا وَقَدْ حَذَّرْتُكُمْ مِنْهِ. The meaning? So there's nothing that will bring you closer to the Jannah and take you away from the hellfire that I didn't tell you. And there's nothing that will bring you closer to the hellfire and takes you away from the Jannah that I didn't warn you against. So he left us on the clear proof, on the right track. Anything that will take us closer to the Jannah, he already taught us. And he said, I'm leaving two things among you. If you abide by them, the Kitab and Sunnah, you will never go straight. So Muslims, brothers and sisters, let us abide by the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Let us bite that by our molar teeth. Let us follow his footsteps. Let us remain on this track. Don't take shortcuts. Don't deviate. Don't listen to the shaitan and its troops. Any deviation, brothers and sisters, from the straight path will take you to hell. All of you recall the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, when he said that he drew the straight line and short lines on both sides of the straight long line. So this is the straight path. This is the way to the Jannah. This is the way of Allah. And these shortcuts, the branches, are the ways of the shaitan. The ways of deviation, the ways of misguidance. So the way is only one way, brothers and sisters. It's the way of the Prophet ﷺ and the way of his Sahaba. And we need to remain in that way and follow the Kitab and the Sunnah and understand it
as the Prophet ﷺ taught it to the Sahaba. And as the Sahaba understood it, then we will reach our destination, we'll reach and achieve our objective and goal. But if we deviate, then we should not blame anyone but ourselves. And you will bring destruction upon yourself, and you will cause damage to yourself and to your ummah, because you are not following the way of your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I have left you upon clear proof. It's night, it's like it's day. No one deviates from it except one who's destroyed, who will be ruined, who will land in the hellfire. Then he said, وَمَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ فَسَيْرَ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Then he addressed the Sahaba. Bear in mind that he is addressing the companions. And he said to them, وَمَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ فَسَيْرَ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Which means, and whoever lives long from amongst you will see great controversy. Subhanallah. He was telling the Sahaba, listen to me. Whoever Allah prolongs his lifespan, he will see by his own eyes a lot of differences. That means the Muslims will start to change the deen, to change the deen from what I taught them. And you are going to see a lot of differences, new things, which I didn't teach you. And that started to happen during the lifetime of many of the Sahaba. Like Abdullah ibn Umar, when the people started to talk about the Qadr, because that is the first bid'ah happened in Islam. The first innovation and bid'ah regarding the belief, the aqidah, is the bid'ah of Qadr, which Ghaylan al-Dimashqi started it. And of course we know Ghaylan al-Dimashqi, his teacher was a Christian who taught him this erroneous belief. So that was the first bid'ah. And in the hadith in Bukhari, when Ibn Umar heard about it, he said, tell those guys who deny the Qadr that Abdullah ibn Umar is innocent of them. And tell them that if one of them spends as much as the amount of Uhud gold for the sake of Allah, it will not be accepted from him until he believes in the Qadr. Also, Ibn Mas'ud, when Abu Musa al-Ash'ari he saw a group of people, and this is authentic hadith in Sunan Imam al-Darimi, when he saw a group of people in the masjid, and this group, they have a sheikh with them, and there is in front of them pile of small stones, pebbles, and this sheikh would say, count Alhamdulillah 100 times. So everyone will start taking stones, small pebbles, the pebbles, and saying Alhamdulillah, 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 just like using the rosary, counting the pebbles, making takbir and tahleel. Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah, So Abu Musa, when he saw that, he felt that this is something wrong, because this is not the practice of the Sahaba. This is not what their Prophet taught them. So what Abu Musa al-Ash'ari did, he went to Ibn Mas'ud, because Ibn Mas'ud is more knowledgeable, is one of the scholars of the Sahaba, and he waited for Ibn Mas'ud to come out of his house. So when Ibn Mas'ud came out, Abu Musa approached him and told him what he saw. Ibn Mas'ud said to him, why didn't you tell them, count your good deeds, your misdeeds, count your dhunub, count your sayyi'at, and they will give you the guarantee that Allah will not be unfair to you. Because when you are counting your good deeds, tasbih, tahleel, takbir. Then Ibn Mas'ud, he covered his face with his scarf, and he went there so that they could not recognize him. And he stood upon them, these circles in the masjids, and what did he say? Amazing. He didn't say to them, oh, jazakum Allah khair, you are doing fine, mashallah. No. He said, ma asra halakatkum ya ummat Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. هذه ملابس نبيكم لم تبلى وأوانيه لم تكسر وأصحابه بين ظهرانيكم فوالله إما أن تكونوا على ملة هي أهدى من ملة محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أو مفتتح باب ضلالة. Meaning in English, roughly, he said, ما أسرع هلكتكم يا أمة محمد. How quickly you perish, أمة of محمد, or followers of محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. You perish so quick. The clothes of your Prophet are still in good condition. They haven't become shabby. His utensils are still intact. His companions are present among you. By Allah, either you have found a way better than the way of the Prophet, or you are opening the door of misguidance. You choose. Either you have found a way better than the Prophet's way, or you are opening the door and the gate for the dalala, for the deviation, for the misguidance. You know what they said? Wallahi, ما أردنا إلا الخير يا أبا عبد الرحمن فقال وكم من مريد للخير لن يصيبه. He said, oh father of Abd Rahman, we didn't mean anything. What we meant is good. We meant khair. We want to go closer to Allah. He said, many people, they want to do khair, but they will not achieve it. The only way to get the khair is to follow the Prophet of the khair, to follow the footsteps of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is what you should learn, brothers and sisters. This is how the Sahaba understood the deen. That following a technique or methodology or a way different from the Prophet's way, it's not khair. Because had it been khair, the Prophet ﷺ would have taught that to us. So that's why any ibadah that the Sahaba didn't do, we should not do, because it is bid'ah. Anything the Prophet ﷺ did not do, it is bid'ah to do. For instance, those who are celebrating the birthday of the Prophet ﷺ, we tell them, okay, what do you consider the celebration? Is it ibadah?
is this is something good? You will be rewarded for that? They will say yes. Say fine. We know ibadah is only has to be taken from the Quran and Sunnah. Did Allah command us to do that, to celebrate the birthday of the Prophet ﷺ? No. Did the Prophet ﷺ tell us to do that? No. Did the Sahaba celebrate the birthday of the Prophet ﷺ? No. Do you love the Prophet ﷺ more than the Sahaba? No. So why are you doing it? Had it been ibadah, the Prophet ﷺ would have taught us that. So this is an innovation in the deen. So the deen is to follow the footsteps of the Prophet ﷺ. Imam Shatibi, rahimahullah, in his book Al-I'tisam, are you following, brothers and sisters? Imam Shatibi, in his book Al-I'tisam, he mentioned what Imam Malik said. Ibn al-Maishun is one of the Maliki. He said Imam Malik was asked by a man. A man came to Imam Malik in Medina, rahimahullah, and said, "Oh Imam, I want to go to Mecca. Where can I make the ihram?" That means the talbiyah. The ihram, when we say ihram, that means you commence the ritual. You start the talbiyah. He said, "You make the ihram from Dhul Hulaifa." The man said, "No, I don't want to make that. I want to make the ihram from the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ, from the grave. I will start next to the grave and I will make the ihram." Imam Malik said, "Inni akhsha alayka fitna." I fear that the fitna might befall you, might afflict you. And the fitna Imam Malik is referring to is the fitna mentioned in the ayah, فَلْيَحْذَرَ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ. Let those who digress and deviate from his command, from his instruction, صلى الله عليه وسلم, فَلْيَحْذَرَ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةً, lest a fitna, a trial, affliction befall them. So that's what Imam Malik alluded to. He said, "I fear the fitna might affect you, or you might fall into the fitna." And the man said, "Why are you fitnatin? What fitna are you talking about? It's only a few meters I will add, or a few kilometers I will add." Imam Malik said, "Why are you fitnatin ashaddu min antara annaka zafarta bi khayrin qassara anhu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." He said, "The real fitna that you think that you will beat the Prophet ﷺ to some khair that he forgot. That's the real fitna. The fitna that you think that you will do khair or something good that the Prophet ﷺ didn't know about it or he forgot to do it. That's the real fitna." When Imam Malik said, "Inni sami'tu Allah yaqul," I heard Allah saying, "Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. Today I have completed your deen. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati. And I have completed my favors upon you. Wa raditu lakum al-islam deena. And I have chosen Islam as a deen, religion for you." Then he said, وَمَا لَمْ يَكُنْ يَوْمَ إِذًا دِينًا فَلَنْ يَكُونَ الْيَوْمَ دِينًا. And what was not deen at the Prophet's time, it is not going to be a deen today. What was not deen at the Prophet's time, it will not be a deen today. These are the beautiful golden words that came from the mouth of Imam Dar al-Hijrah, Malik rahimahullah. What was not deen at the Prophet's time, it's not going to be deen. What was not acceptable at his time is not going to be acceptable in our time. So there is only one way, brothers and sisters, and that is to follow the footsteps of the Prophet ﷺ. So there's only one way, the straight line, the way of the companions, radwanullah alayhim. Is this clear to everyone? So he said, and whoever lives among you and Allah prolongs his lifespan, he will see a lot of differences, great controversy from what we were used to, from what I taught you. So what to do, O Prophet of Allah, when we see these differences, when we see this controversy? Don't you see the differences, brothers and sisters? Don't you see them in your lifetime? What the Prophet ﷺ is saying and what you are seeing? You're seeing it. And everyone is telling you, come, come, this is the way to salvation, this is the way to success. No, don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. Don't be misled. Remain in the straight path. Remain in the straight path. So the Sahaba said, O Prophet of Allah, what to do then? So he told them. The Prophet ﷺ warned them, then he gave them the remedy, the cure. He said, فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِمَا عَرَفْتُمْ مِنْ سُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةُ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ عَضُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِبِ. So he says, stick. And when you see these differences, these changes, these controversies, what should you do? Stick to my sunnah. Abide to my sunnah. Like the hadith of Hudaybah. O Prophet of Allah, what shall I do when there is no Khalifa for the Muslims? As if Hudaybah was living our time. Like this time now, no Khalifa for the Muslims. What should I do? He said, you leave all the groups. Leave them alone. And stick to my path. Follow my way. Follow my way. Even if that will be by just biting the trunk of a tree until you die. Don't follow anyone. Follow my way. Follow the Kitab and the Sunnah. Understand Kitab and Sunnah as I taught it to the Sahaba, and the Sahaba took it from me. So stick to what you know from my Sunnah and the Sunnah of the Orthodox rightly guided Caliphs. The Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and the Sunnah of the Khulafa. And the Sunnah of the Khulafa will never be different from the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, but it's the practice and the implementation and the consensus of the Sahaba. The consensus of the Sahaba, the ijma' of the Sahaba. The Sahaba faced a lot of troubles, a lot of problems, but they stood firmly. They stood firmly against these troubles and these afflictions. So we have to learn from that. You remember that I mentioned many times to you the story of Sabir. Do you recall the story of Sabir? Sabir. Anyone recalls the story of Sabir that I mentioned to you many times? Anyway, there's no harm in re-mentioning it again. Sabir came from Egypt. He came from Egypt to Medina. And he had many doubts in his mind. Has a lot of doubts in his mind. And he started approaching the Sahaba and trying to confuse the Sahaba. He would say, okay, look here, Allah said this, and in another place Allah says this. For instance, Allah says in one place, oh Muhammad, you don't guide. For instance, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. Oh Muhammad, you don't guide whom you love. And in another place, Allah in the Quran, Allah says, وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Most certainly you guide to that straight path. So he's saying, see, here he's saying that you guide, here he's saying you don't guide. So does he guide or doesn't he? And he thinks this is a contradiction. It's there only in his mind due to his lack of knowledge. He doesn't know that here the ayah is talking about two different guidance. Anyway, but the Sahaba, they knew all these things and they understood the Quran very well. So they didn't listen to him. What they said, they only reported what his misbehavior to Umar. And they said, oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, there is a guy who came from Egypt and this is what he's doing. He said, fine. Bring him to me. So they brought him. Umar, what did Umar do? Did Umar say, oh Sabir, what is it that you have? Let us listen to you. Maybe we'll learn from you. No. He says, Sabir, you have told me that you are doing these things. He said, yes. So Umar said, give me my stick. Give me the dirra. The dirra is a known stick by Umar, always with him. He would carry always this known stick with him. They say it has a round head. And he started beating him. The narration says, until the man started to bleed. Then he said to the Sahaba, take him. And when he is cured, bring him again to take the second dose, second injection. And Umar did this three times to the man. After the third time, the man said, oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, by Allah, all these thoughts I used to have in my mind are not there anymore. So please, don't hit me again. I don't have anything there remained in my mind. So that is the cure. Then Umar sent him to Iraq. And he sent a letter to the governor in Iraq. Keep him under your eye. Keep watching him. Umar died. The fitan started in Iraq. The people came to Sabir and said, oh Sabir, now it is your time. You are the free thinker. Huh? I'm sure many of you have heard this. He is an Islamic thinker. We don't have Islamic thinkers in Islam. What do you mean Islamic thinker or Islamic thought? There's nothing called Islamic thought or Islamic thinker. If he's an Islamic thinker, that means the rest of the people are stupid. So they came to him and they said, okay, now it is your chance. You know what Sabir said? He said, no way, leave me alone. the righteous man, the righteous person, the righteous slave, he meant Umar. The righteous slave, he cured me. He gave me the right remedy and cure. So I don't have any doubts in my mind. Leave me alone. That's what Sabir said. So here the Prophet ﷺ said to the Sahaba, so stick to what you know from my Sunnah and the Sunnah of the orthodox rightly guided caliphs. So this is the Sunnah of Umar. There is Sunnah of Abu Bakr and there is Sunnah of Uthman. So whatever the Sahaba agreed upon, that is a must and that is binding. And we have to abide by that. And that's the way of the believers. That's the way of the mu'mineen, as Allah said. So cling to that with your molar teeth. And then he said, stick. And why did the Prophet ﷺ said the molar teeth? Because the molar teeth are the strongest. The front teeth are not very strong. If you are holding it, holding something in, and biting by your front teeth, and if someone pull that rope away, they will fall apart. But if you are biting them by your molar teeth, that will be the best grip. Are you following? And here the Prophet ﷺ is saying that you bite them, bite the Quran, the Sunnah and the robe by your molar teeth. What he is saying? He is telling us that a time will come when someone will try to take away the Sunnah from you. So that's why you have to bite and hold it. Someone is trying all his best to take away from the Kitab and Sunnah. And yes, there are people around the clock working 24 hours to take us away from the Kitab and Sunnah. There are people who are working to put doubts into our minds and to leave the Kitab and Sunnah and to follow their ways. So that's why you need to hold to the Kitab and Sunnah by your molar teeth. Then he said the last advice, وَإِنْ عَبْدًا حَبَشِيًّا وَعَلَيْكُمْ بِالطَّاعَةِ. In another narration, وَوْصِيكُمْ بِالسَّمْعِ وَالطَّاعَةِ وَإِنْ تَأَمَّرَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَبْدٌ حَبَشِيًّا. So he's saying, the Prophet ﷺ then, and stick to obedience and obey your commanders, those who are in charge, even if it is an Abyssinian slave. As long as he follows the Kitab and Sunnah, you have to obey him. You have to obey him. Because he is following the Kitab and Sunnah, and he is the commander, you have to abide, you have to obey him, and you have to follow his instructions. So if the Amir is an Abyssinian slave, no problem. You have to follow what he says. Because we have to have obedience. As Allah said, قُلْ أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ, say, obey Allah. وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولَ, and obey the messenger. وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ, and those who are in authority, those who are authorized, those who are in charge. And the ayah, look to the ayah, brothers and sisters. Allah said, قُلْ أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ, say, obey Allah.
Then he said, وَاطِعُ الرَّسُولِ and obey the messenger. He didn't say then and obey those who are in charge. No. He said, وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. No. وَاطِعُ الْأَمْرِ. No. وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. What does this mean? It means that those who are in charge, you obey them as long as they obey Allah and obey His Messenger. But if they disobey Allah and disobey His Messenger, then there is no obedience for them. You don't obey them. Or if they ask you to disobey Allah and disobey His Messenger, there is no obedience in that case. As long as they obey Allah and His Messenger, and as long as they don't ask you something to disobey Allah Azza wa Jal or His Messenger, then yes, you have to obey them. Then he said, فَإِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُ كَالْجَمَلِ الْأَلِفِ. He said, the believer is like the submissive camel. Those who don't know what the camels, they are very tamed animals. Very submissive. A little boy, 4 years, will lead this big animal, gigantic one. And by saying just to the animal, you know, that is the language you say. And you know what the camel will do? Will fall down in its knees. The little boy will say just and the animal will fall down in its knees. And the boy will mount it or put the load in it and they will say something like that. Hop! And the camel will get up. Now, who made this? Now, who made this camel so obedient to the little boy? Tell me, who made this gigantic animal so obedient? Allah. Allah Azza wa Jal. It's not you, man. It's not you. It's not you. It's Allah. And you say, no, it is I, man, I did that. We tell you, okay. Prove it to us. Can you make the scorpion so tame so you can hold it? Move to us, this little insect, the scorpion, just hold it, go, and see what will happen. It will bite you. It will not listen to you. Go ahead. So it is Allah who made the camel so submissive and the scorpion so rebellious. It is Allah to tell you, it is I myself. You see, don't grow arrogant and think that you made the camel submissive by your own power. Don't forget that you cannot make the little insect, the scorpion, obedient to you or submissive. So always remember, it is I, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who made these animals or all these things to serve you, man? So here, the Prophet ﷺ is giving us this, that the mu'min is just like the camel, is so submissive. He listens to his brothers, he listens to his commanders, he listens. They tell him, do this, he does it. Because what matters here is pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
See, the Prophet said what? When he talks about the mujahid, he said that the true mujahid, he doesn't mind when he's in the front, when he's on the right, when he's in the left, when he's at the end of the army. Whatever position they put him in, he says, Alhamdulillah, he accepts. Because at the end of the day, what matters and what he wants is to achieve and get Allah's pleasure and reward. So let us have this noble quality. Let us be so submissive to one another, so obedient to one another. Open our hearts to listen to the advice that will be given to us from one another. Let us get rid of our arrogance. And implement this hadith in our life. The believer's life, the submissive camel, wherever he is led, he follows. As long as, of course, that injunction or that command does not involve any haram. But if it involves any haram, then the believer will not become, should not be submissive, should not be obedient. You know, in the hadith, and I conclude with this, which is in Sahih al-Jama' authenticated by our Shaykh Nasir al-Din al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala, that the Prophet ﷺ, he sent a group of the Sahaba on Sariyah. Sariyah means small group of the soldiers, military expedition, but without the Prophet ﷺ. Because we have two things, two terminologies I want you to understand. Sariyah, which is a military expedition, but the Prophet ﷺ is not present, so it's called Sariyah. And we have Ghazwa. Ghazwa means military expedition that the Prophet ﷺ is participating or leading. So it was a Sariyah. So the commander, the Amir, said to the soldiers, to the Mujahideen of them, he set the fire, made a big fire, and then he said, "Am I not your Amir?" They said, "Yes, you are. And you are supposed to obey me?" They said, "Yes." He said, "I command you to enter the fire. I want you to enter this fire." Some of the Sahaba stood up and they wanted to enter the fire. Then they thought and they said, "Oh, come on, hold on. We became Muslims to escape the fire. So why should we enter the fire?" They said, No, we'll not obey you here." Regarding this, no obedience. And this Sahabi, who happened to be the commander, was actually having, known by his sense of humor. When they reported this to the Prophet ﷺ, listen to what the Prophet ﷺ said. He said, "لَوْ دَخَلُوهَا مَا خَرَجُوا مِنْهَا." Had they obeyed him, they would never come out of it. Had they obeyed him, they would never come out of it. That means they will also remain in the hellfire. So there is no blind fellowship for anyone. You don't follow people blindly. Yes, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he tells you anything, yes, you follow him. Because he would not ask you to do anything except the right thing. But anyone else, if he commands you to do something haram, you say sorry. May Allah Azza wa Jal guide us all, strengthen our iman and your iman, and keep us steadfast upon the straight path, and to make us follow the footsteps of His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam till we meet Him on the fountain. Ameen, ameen. May Allah reward all of your brothers and sisters for your patience and attendance. Barakallahu feekum, jazakumullahu khaira, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.